Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is let's talk about money and the numbers to call to talk about having what you want and thriving in every area of your life. 866-254-1579 in the United States and Canada. That's 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the show by dialing your country code, usually 001, then 760-918-4300. And as always, before we go to the phones, I like to set the table. And the reason that I call the show Let's Talk About Money, something I noticed that happens with my clients over time, is there comes a point when people begin to really understand the kinds of things we talk about in this show about the nature of thought and the inside-out nature of our experience and the innate nature of well-being and wisdom, there comes a point where they run out of problems to talk about. It's like life either sorts itself out or they know what to do or they recognize that there's nothing to be done and there's no more problems to talk about. And at first, there's almost this temptation to generate some. It's like, okay, I better generate a problem because I want to talk to Michael, so I need a problem to talk to him about. And in fact, when your problems no longer look like problems, when it no longer looks like I've got to figure this all out, I've got to work this all out, then what happens is it opens up a space to look at things more deeply than maybe you've looked at them in the past, to get new insights into them, to get new thinking around them. And one of the great things is to just look at an area of your life. And so sometimes somebody will come on the phone and just go, let's talk about relationships today, or let's talk about money. So today that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about money. So we'll talk to you, and I'm delighted to talk to you about anything you want to talk about. But generally speaking, let's talk about money. And I'm going to encourage you to do something that is probably not how you would normally listen to the show. And I'm going to encourage you, you know, you've probably heard from a number of different books and newspaper articles and relatives and shows over the year. Look, it's time that you got smart about money. And I want to encourage you while you listen today to do something almost the opposite. I'd like you to get stupider about money. And what I mean by that isn't go out and spend lots of money you don't have. I mean, maybe get a little less certain that you actually know what it's all about or what you're supposed to do with it or how it all works. There's something really interesting that happens around money. It happens in other areas of our life, but it's somehow often easier to see around money, where it's almost like common sense, we forget that we have it and we think we need advice. So, you know, here's some, I don't have them in front of me, but I was thinking, as I was thinking about the show this week, I was thinking, what are some of the kinds of things I've heard money experts on the radio and television talk about? And, you know, just in the last week, just flicking around channels and flickering around stations, I've heard money experts, you know, who I'm sure are brilliant, say things like, you need to save before you spend, or you need to have a budget, or you need to put something aside for the future. And people go, oh, as if this is news. Now, there's something really curious about that to me. It's sort of to me like if you see somebody smoking and you say to them, you know, smoking's bad for you. If they went, oh, I didn't realize. Oh gosh, thank you. Well, I'll put this out right now then. Now, because we do know at a deeper level, and yet we don't do what we know, the natural assumption is, well, there must be something wrong with me. I must lack willpower. I must lack discipline. I must have the wrong strategy, because why else would I keep doing this stuff that doesn't work? You know, why would I keep doing it if there wasn't something wrong with me? And what I found is, as often as not, it's because we we forget to look at our own common sense, and we resist the instruction of others, or even the instruction of ourselves. So here's what happens. Here's why you've probably done this at some point. You've listened to a radio show host or watched somebody on TV or read books by somebody who says the same thing again and again and again, and you know it. Like in your head, you go, yeah, I really must say, but let me put Dave Ramsey on. I love listening to Dave Ramsey. I love listening to the people. But if you listen to what he says, it's pretty much common sense. And yet people listen and listen and listen, sometimes for years, before they do anything about it. And I've always wondered, well, why is that? Like, why would you keep listening? And one of the reasons is that at some point, we believe that if we hear it enough times in enough different ways, maybe we'll finally do something about it. And I'm going to suggest that what it is that gets us to finally do something about it when there's something to be done is that we actually tap into the insight for ourselves. It is not until we see it for ourselves that we do anything about it. No matter how much sense it makes to us, no matter how much we agree with it philosophically, no matter how certain the person talking about it sounds, it's not until the moment you go, oh, wow, you know what? I would be better off without this. You know what? I would really feel better if I didn't keep sticking a fork in my leg. My leg would probably hurt a lot less. I'm going to stop doing that. The second you really see it for yourself, you have an insight, it's over. It's done. No more questions about self-worth. No more questions about self-sabotage. The moment you really see it for yourself, it's done. And so if you're not doing it, it's only because you haven't really had an insight into it yet. And when you understand that, that opens you up to something really cool. Because if you understand that what you're really looking for is an insight, then instead of just listening to the same people repeat the same thing again and again and again, you can actually put yourself into the insight state of mind. And I say that with like this look on my face of slight horror, because I'm afraid people are going to go, ooh, the insight state of mind, right? How do I do that? Okay, step one, step two, step three, step four, step five. Look, we all have our quieter moments. We all have places that we go where we just naturally fall into our quieter mind. It might be something as simple as the shower. It might be nature. It might be a coffee and a good book. But there are things that you do. There are places that you go. There are times throughout your day, throughout your week, throughout your life where you get quieter, where you get a little bit more reflective, where you get less caught up in the drama and the doing and the excitement and the tension and the, ha-ha, I am going to conquer the world! And relax into the natural receptiveness of your own mind. And it's in that space that insights come. So that's why sometimes you'll hear me say on the show, don't listen to the ideas so much. Listen for the feeling. Because that feeling is a natural feeling that comes it comes baked in. And when you're in touch with that, when you're in that more reflective, receptive state of mind, it's not just easier to hear what somebody else has to say. It's much easier to hear what your inner voice has to say. It's much easier to hear things for yourself. So I just want you to keep that in mind as we go through today. And let's go to the phones again. If you want to get in, numbers to call 866-254-1579, toll free in the United States and Canada, or from outside the United States, you can reach the show by dialing 001-760-918-4300. And we'll begin in Denver, Colorado with Alicia. Alicia, am I saying your name right?
You are, Michael. Hello.
Hello there. What are we talking about today?
Well, you said money, and
okay.
I heard you.
Cool.
And, you know, the one relationship I have with money is not a very good one. You know, I tend to pretty much give it away. I'm not very attached to it. I make great money, but I think there's something to be said about respecting money and not really understanding why that I don't respect it enough, because I should be in a much better position than I'm in now, if you will.
So I'm curious about the word attached. I don't know if you've ever heard me talk about the butterfly point.
No.
So there's this point of if you were going to hold a live butterfly in your hand, okay, if you squeeze too tight, what would happen?
It would die.
Right. Now, if you kept your hand completely open, what would happen?
It would fly away.
Right. Now, there's this point, which I'll call the butterfly point, where you would hold it so gently that it wouldn't get hurt, but neither so open that it would fly away nor so tight that you would crush it. Does that, can you kind of feel that point for yourself, what that's like? That, for me, seems to be the place we're heading around most things like this. Because if you really look, there's nothing wrong. If you had gotten on the phone and said, hey, I get money, it comes in, it goes out, and I'm fine with that, then the open hand would be fine. But it sounds to me like you've become aware that living with a completely open hand might not be working for you the way that you want.
Correct.
Right. So what would be different, and this is going to be a guess, but what would be different if instead of being just not attached to money, you continued to be not attached, in other words, not, you know, squeezing it to the point where you squeeze the life out of it, but you just maybe put some attention onto it? What do you think would be some of the first things that would shift for you if you decided to find the butterfly point with money instead of the complete open hand?
Well, I think there'd be more security, just kind of automatically, because, you know, I tend to just have an idea of what I have and then spend it accordingly. Not crazy or anything frivolous, just I get an idea, and if someone needs it, and I, even though I know I might need it in a week, I'll give it away. So I think there, it would just give me more of a sense of security and less worry, if you will.
So here's an interesting question then that comes up for me as I listen. So it sounds like you make the decision about whether to give it away based on some inaccurate figures in your head.
Yeah, loose figures.
Right. And you think that the solution would be tighter figures. Is that a fair description?
Yeah, just really probably paying closer attention, really looking at them versus having an idea. You know, it's not like there's so much to work with that I shouldn't be concerned, but just being more aware of actually seeing it, kind of more facing it, if you will. I think sometimes that's part of it, is like, do you really, really want to know exactly how much you have, or just almost feels better to have a general idea of what you have, so...
So look, that's, there's a common sense element to that. I certainly can't think of any downside to that. And I want to suggest something else just to take away with you.
Sure.
Which is, there's a feeling that you get from time to time. There's a knowing that, I don't know how much you trust it, but there are times where you know that something is a good idea or a bad idea.
Correct.
Right. We all have that. That's why I can say that with confidence. What if you trusted that around money?
Probably help me keep more.
It might help you keep more, but what it might also do is stop you from intellectualizing when you can give it away and when you can't. Because the problem with looking to your bank balance to make that decision, and I'm not saying don't do that. Okay. I would agree. I certainly... personally, I've been better around money since I've known how much of it I have or don't have.
Right.
But if you let the outside be the decider, as opposed to one of the factors in the decision, you lose out on the deeper wisdom that we all have. That thing that lets us know yes or no in a really simple way. And so this is a takeaway. This isn't something you got to work out here on the call. But would you be open to, maybe just as an experiment over the next couple of weeks, as well as whatever you decide to do about getting clearer about where you're at financially, to really start to trust that feeling around your financial decisions and see where it takes you?
Okay.
Yeah?
I can do that.
Yes, you can. Thank you very much, Alicia.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. Bye. So it's a really interesting thing, but it's almost like we forget that we have this wisdom inside us when it comes to money. We might, there, you know, most of us have one or two areas in our life where we absolutely use our wisdom to guide us. But then in the areas where we feel a little more insecure, we go, well, I can't trust my wisdom here. I need this. I need the expert. I need the bank balance. I need the this. And again, I'm never going to say don't get that information. Often it's very valuable. But in the end, you always want to make that decision from your inner knowing and not from your outer circumstance. Let's go to South Africa, shall we? And let's talk to Lauren. Lauren, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hi, nice to speak to you.
And you.
Thank you. I wanted to know, how do you tell the difference? There are two parts to this, but the difference between, say, an inspired thought versus an NLP embedded command.
Okay.
You know, like in a hypnotic scripting or something like that.
So there are a few pretty reliable ways. The most reliable on either side are the two that I'm inclined to share right now. And the first is something like an embedded command or hypnotic command, which, you know, sounds very dramatic and controlling and scary.
Well, I've seen it on Darren Brown.
Oh, absolutely. No. I'm not saying it doesn't work. Don't get me wrong. But there's a feeling of compulsion that comes with that.
Yes.
Now, one of the things that is just a sure giveaway that you're not listening to your wisdom, that you're not following your own wisdom, is that feeling of compulsion, that feeling of have to,
yes,
must, that feeling of, it often feels urgent.
Yes.
It's like,
yes,
I've got to take care of this, and I've got to take care of it now, and I've got to take care of it once and for all. That's a pretty damn sure sign that that's not an inspired thought.
But what if you have to make an important decision, and that's the time you have to make it?
Well, I'm going to say that 99% of the time that somebody says that to me, when I ask them what would happen if they didn't make it in the next minute, there isn't an answer. Mm. And when I ask them what it would happen if they didn't make it in the next day, there's sometimes an answer, but often not.
Yeah.
And what I find is, it again, it's that trick of the light. It's the trick of the mind that makes it seem urgent, that tricks us into just going with something without waiting to hear our own wisdom. Now, look, if it comes down to it, if there really is a moment where you have to make a decision, and from time to time there are, and you really don't know what to do, then, you know, flip a coin. Because, you know, the coin's guess is as good as yours.
And you'll get a feeling about it. Yeah.
But what I've found is that actually, when you get to the point where the decision actually is relevant, most of the time you do know what to do, especially if you're not bound up in your own tension and insecurity around it. Now, the flip of it, how do you recognize an inspired thought, is it feels inspired. It feels good. It feels not like a high, like, oh my God, this is going to change my life. It's more of a just like a deep feeling. You know, the way it'll feel for you is different. But you it sounds like, by the way, you said, yeah, that you have a reference point for that.
Yes. I listened to you before, and you were very good on the radio, and that gave me a reference point for it.
Yeah. And that's something that the more you resonate with it, the easier it is to spot and the easier it is to notice when it's missing.
Yes. Okay. And can I ask you a second part?
Yeah, go for it.
Thank you. I also want to ask you, everybody goes on, you should have appreciation. If you're appreciative, then you have more abundance in your life and so on. But I find sometimes, and it's not when I'm off my game, or sometimes I realize I'm a bit spinning, so I'm trying to calm myself down and say, don't worry, everything will be all right. And then I try and focus on what I'm appreciative about. And I think like, oh, that's so pretty, or at least that's fixed or whatever. And it gets undone. And it's when I'm more relaxed, or when I'm not focusing on my thoughts and controlling them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also the flip. Sometimes I think, I'll never get this, in that same sort of state of mind, and it comes about. And it's like good and bad. But it's freaking me out, because I like to be appreciative and just enjoy things and not be worried that I'm somehow, I don't know.
So here's the difference between being appreciative as an activity and being appreciative as a state of being. Let me talk a little into that distinction. So when we try to do appreciation, It's like I had a great conversation with somebody the other day, and they were telling me a story about a woman who said, yeah, I tried unconditional love with my husband, but it didn't work. And they said, what do you mean? And they said, oh, well, I was unconditionally loving him for like a week and a half, and he still didn't change. Right? It's easy to get into appreciation as a tactic.
Yeah.
Right? We're trying to control the world, and we're using appreciation as our weapon.
Mm.
Right? That's not going to work any better than anything else that you try to control the world with. You know, we just don't control the world. Not like that.
Well, so, sometimes it's when I'm not even trying to control, it's just I'm not really thinking about my thoughts, and I think that, and then it goes off.
So here's what I'm hearing, Lauren, and I'm just gonna play my hunch, okay?
Yeah.
It sounds to me, and I apologize if this is inaccurate, but it sounds to me like your thinking is kind of scary to you. Like you think your thinking could do something to you if you're not careful about it.
I'm scared of bad thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's a lot of people are. Okay. So it's not, you know, that's not a Lauren problem. That's a pretty common thing.
Thanks.
Here's what I know for what it's worth. Our thoughts without our investment are as impotent as a tea bag without hot water. Until we start giving a thought, you know, we start putting energy into it, it doesn't have any. I can sit here and think the darkest thoughts in the world. And if I know that they're just thoughts, they won't have any impact on my life or well-being at all, any more so than a horror movie is really going to have any impact on my life. If I know that it's a movie. Now, the minute I forget that it's a movie and get really scared and start thinking about it, well, sure, I'll get really scared. But then
it's not when I'm scared. That's what scares me. It's when I'm not thinking of my thoughts having power. You know, when you think, oh, I had this thought.
Sure, and I'm gonna just kind of ask you to sit with this one a bit, because I can tell you from outside, it is.
Okay.
It's just the thought that scares you is the thought that it's not when it's scary.
Yes.
All right. So you know, I know it's one of those things like, gee, thanks, Mike, but don't worry about it. They're just thoughts. They'll pass, including the thought that it only happens when I think it's just a thought.
Okay. All right.
And what you'll find is, you know, maybe not today, but you'll find there's some point, some of those thoughts will come up again, and you'll just go, wow, I sort of remember that I really used to think that. And that's one of the ways that you'll know you've moved forward.
Except people say what you fear, you...
Yeah, that's that's another thought, too.
Okay, so you don't put much credence in
it's
that,
thoughts all the way down. We can make anything true. That's the way the mind works.
Okay.
And unfortunately, when we do it from a place of fear, we tend to manifest more fear.
So instead, you just don't give them much energy.
Well, okay. So what I'm going to do, Lauren, is because we're coming up on the break, I'm going to let you go, but I will keep talking about this. Okay. So thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. And no, not a problem at all, but I want to speak to it generally because this is one of those things that, you know, maybe you're hearing it when Lauren was talking, maybe you're recognizing it for yourself. If you're hearing what I'm saying as a prescription, you've already bought into there being a disease. Okay. Your thoughts are not a problem. They don't need fixing. You don't need to find the right attitude to have towards them. Human beings think. It's what we do. And when at a certain level of consciousness, our thoughts look real to us and we feel our thinking and we experience our thinking. And if those thoughts are scary, it's scary. It's not outside of you. And the second you see your thoughts as thought, they stop having any impact on you whatsoever. We're going to be back with more calls. Sheila, Caleb, and Heather, you are next in the queue. If you want to get in, 866-254-1579 is the number to call. We're going to be right back after this break.
strategies for real change. This is Supercoach with Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about money today. And before I go back to the phones, a couple of things. If you like the things we talk about on the show, you can always learn more at supercoach.com. If you want to be able to work with people in this way, we have one more training coming up in 2012. You can read about it at supercoachacademy.com. You can also find it at supercoach.com. You can follow me on Twitter, Michael_Neal. You can find me on Facebook. And if you're in Europe and you want, I think there's still a few places left at the Roots of Human Potential Conference in London, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And I'll be speaking there on Sunday and Monday. And you can find out more about that on the website, supercoach.com. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go all the way through the magic of radio from Johannesburg to Chicago. And let's talk to Sheila. Sheila, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hello there. I was very interested when I heard your topic of money because I used to have a lot. I worked in the media and I made a lot of money. I made very good money and worked very little, you know, 4 hours a day, basically, and got divorced and am now a single mom and had to go back to work full time as a result of that. Mm-hmm. So now I work twice as much and make about a third of what I used to make. And I'm raising my son who just turned 8.
Okay.
So it is quite a different situation, but I am a coach who just completed my training. So I'm in the process of building my business, and I know that this is temporary, but it's been about a 3-year process of going through the divorce and then and working full-time and just beginning to start a business about maybe 4 months ago. So I'm doing that while, you know, I'm working and building up, doing it the right way, basically. My question to you is, because I'm kind of brand new, if you will, as far as me, I am in a much better place emotionally, spiritually, everything but financially. I want to be smart. And it wasn't that I wasn't smart before. That's really not the case. It's just that life happens, had to sell our house, had to do a short sale, really got kind of screwed on the short sale from the bank. So as a result of starting over again and not having a lot of money, even wiggle room now, I want to begin to save money and be financially savvy. And I just want to know your thoughts of doing that the best way.
Well, okay, so let me start with your thoughts. Like what and I'll tell you why I'm asking it that way. It sounds to me like you do know what to do about money, and that
I do when I have it.
Right. So I'm wondering what the real question is.
Well, like right now, I'm literally living paycheck to paycheck, literally.
Right.
I don't know what else I could shave off unless I move to a neighborhood, a less desirable neighborhood, which I'm just quite frankly not willing to do.
Okay.
So I'm thinking it's kind of like I want a magic pill or button or something that says, hey, you can do this, and it's going to save you more money. And
So remember how at the beginning of the show I said that I wanted to encourage people to listen from a slightly stupider place?
Mm-hmm.
So if you weren't a responsible person.
Yes.
Like if you weren't this, and I get that you're a very responsible person, and I love that, and I'm not suggesting this is anything other than a thought experiment. But if you weren't a super responsible person, what would you do about money?
So
it's like a quantum leap thing. This not super responsible person comes in and takes over your life, right? What would she do?
I'd just do whatever I wanted to do with it, but it wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be able to do that for very long and still have a place to live.
So is there anything that she might do that isn't stupid? Like that when you look at it, it's like, oh my God, I could never do that. But actually, if I did,
Okay. Well, this is what's what's kind of resonating in the back burners of my mind, if mm-hmm. you will. When I used to have money, I didn't live on a budget, but I had money budgeted for certain things, and I was pretty good about that. Mm-hmm. Now, because there's really no need for a budget, because there's so, first of all, I don't have nearly as many as many expenses. That's number one, and number two, I can do everything in my head because there's so little.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Uh huh.
Okay. So, outside of putting everything on paper, which I know most people would say that's huge, but it's like literally when you do rent, you do your utilities, your phone and your cell, and childcare, that's and food, that's pretty much it. You know, I mean, there's gas.
So I'm sorry, and I'm only doing this because we're on the air. Obviously, if we were, you know, having long chats, I would let you roll with it. But you saw something. There was something that was resonating with you. What was it?
That was it. The budget.
So a budget. So actually, even though it looks like, well, what's the point? Actually, creating one. So is there any reason not to do that?
Is there any reason not to? No, there's no reason not to.
Okay, so here's why I'm going to suggest that may actually be your wisdom speaking. Okay, and I don't know. We'll find out. But my experience is that when you make a space for something, it tends to come into that space. I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's a universal law to do with vacuums and vortices and all that kind of cool stuff, or if it's simpler than that. I genuinely just don't know. But I do notice it. I notice that when I have clients make space in their diary for new clients tend to show up. You know, when they actually mark it out. Okay, this is when I'm going to talk to my new clients. I notice that when I have really busy clients who want to have a relationship, block out evenings where they could go on dates if they had them, the dates start to show up. And it kind of makes sense to me that the same thing would be true around money. That if you start making the piles and making the spaces for it, and okay, when and you know, one of the ways people do it is on percentage. Okay, you know, the first, you know, this percent is going to go on this percent is going to go on this, so it doesn't matter what the numbers are. Another way that some people do it is, okay, this is my basic figure that covers those bills that I have. The first, you know, every $100 that comes in over that amount, $20 of it is for this, 20 for this, 20 for this, 20 for this. I've actually watched a young couple that I know just in the last year doing exactly that. And suddenly he's had the best year financially of his life, kind of out of nowhere. They've managed to put a year's savings aside. They've redone their house. They've got money begun to be saved for their college. And it all started with, I'm not saying this is why it happened or that this is exactly what will happen with you, but it all started because they took the time to sit down and figure out, well, when the money does come, where am I going to put it? And that just sounds like, since it came from you in the first place, it's certainly worth following through. You up for doing that and just seeing what happens?
I am, yeah, because it's going to come. It's already, really great things are already happening. So it's really just a matter of time.
Yeah, and very cool. And give us a call. Let us know how it goes.
I will do that.
All right. Thank you very much. And you know, it's often too simple. Well, it can't be that simple. Well, sometimes it is. In fact, more often than not, it is. We had a great thing happen with our coaching academy. We have people coming in from, I think, 17 countries now, to work with us next year. And one of the people was having a real trouble getting the money through to us. So they tried doing wire transfers. They tried putting it on credit cards. They tried, you know, all these different international systems. The money actually left their account at one point, but it didn't get to us. And they had gotten to the point where they were deciding, well, I've been trying this for 2 months. It's a sign. It's a sign. I shouldn't do it. And when I finally heard that all this had gone on 2 months later, I said, well, what about writing a check? And it just hadn't occurred to anyone that was one of the possibilities, that maybe it was that simple. Often, not always, but often, it's a lot simpler than you think it is. Let's go from Chicago to Oregon, and let's talk to Caleb. Caleb, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going really well.
Congratulations on a great show today.
Thank you.
This is fun. I talked to you like on a coaching call a couple of months ago, and I was kind of whining for a while, and eventually you just told me, you said, Caleb, do what you want and see what happens.
That sounds like me.
And I, from that point, it kind of struck me hard, and I was listening to that, like, I listened to that over and over again. I started to make these changes in my life, like, what have I been telling myself I can't do that I've really been wanting to do, you know? And I've just started to do things that I wanted to do, sports and all kinds of stuff, and it's like, it's made me just happier, like, better energy, and my imagination is starting to, like, wake up again.
It's fantastic.
And so my situation right now, like, I guess I'm probably similar to, I resonate with the last caller, maybe it was the caller before, where I feel like there's a lot of great stuff going on in my life, and there's just, like, there's a financial thing where it would just be nice that it if it was a little bit better. And one of the analogies that I was listening to another one of your radio shows, and you said, you were talking about we are really playing with the house's money.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. It's for those people
like
that don't, let me.
$500 to play at the casino every night, whether you win or lose.
Mm-hmm.
And how that's, to me, it seems like a lot of what you're saying is like, use your imagination more. Like, what do you want? You know, like, imagine and create that in your imagination. So what I'm, my question today is, what I've been trying to do is imagine my future and me and create this expectation of what I want. And like you said, like, create, if you want more clients, like, imagine those new clients, like, create a space in your mind for those things happening. So it's like, is imagination the key here, I guess?
So, okay, let me try and speak to that, Caleb, because I don't know. Is the quick answer, but let's see if we can go past that one as well. So one of the great things that I have learned, and I specifically, the question I'm going to share, I worked with a wonderful coach named Steve Hardison for a couple of years, and he you can find him at ultimatecoach.net or theultimatecoach.net, or just search for Steve Hardison. He's great. Great coach. And one of the things he taught me was how much we limit our sense of what we want because we have such a limited view of what's possible. So we tend to think only in terms of what we think is plausible that we could pull off and decide that that's what I want, instead of focusing on, well, what do I want? And then figuring out how we could pull it off.
Yeah.
Now, imagination is certainly a huge part of that, but again, it's not something to put on your to-do list. It's like, okay, what do I have to do today? Oh, I need to appreciate all the things in my life. Then I need to imagine having what I want. Then I need to get lunch and pick up the dry cleaning. It's not like that. Imagination is one of our human gifts. It's part of the gift of thought, is the ability to think things into being that are not yet existent in the world of form. And what happens, the way the mind works, is the more we do that, the more detail starts to come into the picture. The more real it starts to seem. I often use the analogy of a candle. So I think another Steve Hardison one, in fact, that, you know, you dip the wick in the wax and a bit of wax sticks to it. And each time you put it back in, more wax sticks to it until over time, you've got a candle and everyone can see when you were first doing it, they're going, what are you doing? Sticking that piece of string in that bowl. And then at some point, everyone can start to see, oh my gosh, that's solid. That's real. That's got some substance to it. Well, it's the same thing when we're creating in the world. It starts as thought. And then the more we think about it, the more detail starts to come in, the more ideas. If we stay in a sort of a more reflective state, we'll get inspirations and insights and make little leaps in terms of our seeing about what's possible or how to go about it. We'll start to take inspired action because we're inspired to take it. And things start to happen. We start making requests of other people. We start making promises to other people. We engender momentum. We enroll people in our creation. And at some point, there's something solid and real in the world that we can all point to and touch and taste and feel and smell. That's how things get created. So is it just a matter of being able to imagine it? Well, no and yes. I mean, no, there's a lot more that goes into it, but at its simplest level, it starts by at least giving yourself the space to dream it.
Yeah.
And not doing that to avoid disappointment. Oh, I don't want to dream that because then I'll be disappointed if it doesn't happen. Well, you could do that. Or you could dream tons of things and know that a very small portion of them will come into being, but that will be more than enough.
That's awesome. Well, cool. 'Cause you're talking about insights earlier, right? So you want to put yourself in that, maybe it's like a brain wave, like, or just that relaxed.
Here's the thing. If you don't have any space in your life for insight to come in, then it's very unlikely that insight will come in.
Right.
And when you start to recognize that your next great idea is going to come via insight, then it becomes common sense to design your time a little bit to make space for that.
Yeah.
All right, Caleb, thanks very much. Call the show anytime. We are going to move straight on from Oregon to Massachusetts and talk to Zena. Zena, what are we going to talk about today?
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm very well.
I wanted to first tell you how much I appreciate your show. And secondly, I wanted to, well, basically it's now going to piggyback last caller. I have, I've had some financial struggles, and I want to become more creative and kind of let the opportunities come in. But it's been so stressful that I don't think I'm open for the inspiration to come in. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted your feedback as to what I could do to become more open and hopefully change, you know, the future.
Okay. So... Oh, there's so many. It's like when somebody sets you up for a bad joke, and there's so many different ways you could go with it. Here's what occurs to me, Zena. Where do you think that the stress is coming from?
Well, basically, I'm living paycheck to paycheck, and it's getting real tight to where possibly my home could be in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm in works trying to refinance, but the door keeps closing. So I'm trying to stay positive and find, you know, how they say, you know, just keep going until you get a yes. I'm trying to do that, but it seems more difficult every time I hear no.
Right. So here's something that I don't know whether you'll hear it right now when I say it.
Okay.
But I do know that when you do hear it, this is all going to seem a lot kinder than it probably feels right now.
Okay.
Okay. And I don't mean me. I'm not about to be mean to you, but
it's
all right, get ready. Come on,
okay.
Girl.
Okay. Yeah.
Stress does not come from our circumstances. It can't, right? There is no way that your bank balance can cause stress. It would be magical far beyond anything that people at Hay House talk about as magic. The only way you can experience stress in your body is by thinking stressful thoughts. Now, you might say, and people do say, well, how can I not think stressful thoughts when stressful things are happening? Well, no, the idea that that thing is stressful is already the thought. That thing is just a thing. We live in a world... Sid Banks used to say, you know, life is a contact sport, right? We live in a world of form where things don't always happen the way we would like them to. And sometimes, because of our thinking, that seems really stressful to us. And at other times, because we have different thinking, we handle those situations with a remarkable amount of grace. And the reason that this is where I'm going with your question is because when you stop taking your own stressful thoughts so seriously, when that thought comes in about, oh my God, what will happen if this person says no and then I'll never do this, and blah, 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 when that stops seeming so meaningful to you and starts seeming like just more thought, you will naturally drop right back into your well-being, your creativity, and that space where the insights come in. In other words, that's your natural state. And the only reason that you're not in there the majority of the time is because the thoughts that you've been having about your circumstances feel really real to you. And I get that. And it hurts. But what hurts is the lack of recognition that that's what's hurting. You know, it'd be almost as if there was a video game. I don't know if you ever played this video game. I don't remember what it's called, but there was this boxing video game I used to love as a kid, and it was like the fighter was facing you and would throw punches at your character, and the screen would shake a little whenever it hit. And it's almost as if you were playing that video game and didn't realize that the punch stopped at the screen, that it couldn't really get through to you. And it would be scary and it would be hard. And sometimes you'd really tough it out and you'd really go, damn it, I don't care if he knocks me down 7 times, I'm going to get up 8. But at some point, if you saw for a minute, for a moment, that it's just a video game, all of that would become irrelevant, and you decide whether you wanted to keep playing or not. And you might well decide to keep playing, but you would go back to playing it as a game and you would do the best you could. And you would, of course, if you won, you'd go, yay, I won. What's next? And if you lost, you'd go, damn, I lost. What's next? Now, what do you hear in that? What resonates for you in that?
Well, what I'm hearing is to not take these, you know, what I'm hearing from the banker so seriously, and to just keep forging ahead.
As long as in your clearer moments, and you have clearer moments and less clear moments, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
As long as in your clearer moments, what occurs to you is, you know what? I want to keep going. Then keep going. And
right.
If at some point in a clearer moment, not in a moment of defeat or stress or freaking out, but if in a clearer moment, the message you get from your own wisdom is, it's time to let go of this and find something else, well, then you'll know to do that too.
Right, right. I just need to get comfortable. That's where I kind of felt a little bit lost, that I wasn't sure if, you know, is it time to let go or is it time to keep going.
Right. And you'll know that in your when you allow the space for clarity, for your own clarity to come back through. And that just will come naturally. There's nothing to do about that. The
right.
second that you start seeing that all this stress that you're feeling isn't to do with the bank. It's not to do with the bankers. It's not to do with your house. It's to do with your thinking. And your thinking will change. That's the nature of thought, right? When we don't hang on to it, when we don't make a big deal out of it, new thought comes.
Right.
And that new thought brings with it a whole new experience.
That's great. It makes so much sense. I feel more, ready to go ahead.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for phoning in.
Thank you very much, Michael.
You're
Bye.
Welcome. Well, thank you guys for listening. Those of you still on hold, I'm sorry I couldn't get to you today. We will be back with another live show next week, so please feel free to phone back then. Again, you can find me online, supercoach.com. You can come see me in London at the Tikkun Conference on the Roots of Human Potential. Until next week, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.